that will add up to a multiple of 5.
Okay.
The first one ends in an 8.
Right.
And the last one ends in a 2.
Oh, good. Okay.
So it's 10, so you can cross that out. And that way you don't really have to count. You can just cross things off and then figure out what you're left with. I was left with the 71, so you lost 1. Yeah.
That's interesting. Okay. But you had to have this list someplace.
Right. I wrote it.
Ah. All right. So what she did is she found sort of pairs, things that when you add them up, they end up being 0 mod 5. And because they end up being 0 mod 5, they kind of are going to cancel each other out in the sum. So just get rid of them in advance so you don't even have to touch them, except for to write them down and cross them out. And you end up getting exactly the same answer. It's really the same as what I described, but it's jumping around to make the, so you don't have to keep track of all the intermediate sums. Now, if all these numbers ended in a 1, you'd be kind of irritated.
Yeah.
But
it worked well with those first lists that you gave us.
Yes, because these are generated at random, so there's a good probability that that there's going to be a mix of unit digits, and so you'll be able to find the pairs and knock them out. Yeah. There's a magic trick that uses that idea. Very good. All right, so are you prepared to run out of the 3 on the next list that I give you? Okay, think you can do it? That sounded like "and." I'm not sure if that's a yes or a no.
We'll see.
No, what else do you need?
I just don't understand.
All right, so I'm saying what you do, here, I'll make it more clear. So a number can only end in 10 possible last digits. 0, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. So we'll do it this way. 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. You start off with a fist, and you go through the list. You look at the first number, that's 48. So it ends with an 8. So these are the final digits. If it ends with an 8, that means you go up 3 fingers. Or if you already have 3, if you have at least 2 fingers, go down 2. It's the same thing. Alright, so I went up 3. The next one, it ends with a 0. That means no change. So you don't have to do anything. The next one ends with a 4. 4 means you go up 4 or down 1, whichever you can do on your finger. So I'll go down 1. 6 means you go up 1 or down 4. I'll go up 1. 1 means you go up 1 or down 4. 7 means you go up 2 or down 3. I'll go down 3. 2 means you go up 2. 2 means you go down 3. You can choose. 1 means you go up 1. 5 means no change. 3 means you go up 3. 1, 2, 3. 0 is no change. 4 is down 1. 3 is down 2. 8 is up 3, 1, 2, 3, 5 is no change, and 2 is down 3, and we get 1. Now the other way to do this, if you don't want to be thinking about the up versus down, you can just wrap around, right? Up 4 is like going like this. So if we have, 3 and we go up 4, that's like 1, 2, 3, 4, we throw away the 5, and we're left with 2. All right. So is that clear now? Step-by-step procedure. Even a computer could do it. Yes?
Is 5 always the no change one, or is it just because the derivative of
that? Oh, this is all this algorithm is very specific to the fact that we're asking dividing by 5.
Okay.
If we change this so it was divided by 6, everything goes away, and we can't use this idea at all.
Okay.
And just so you know, I'm only going to ask you by 5, because this is when you can use this trick. The worst case is you have these big hairy numbers and you're trying to look at, you're summing up remainders mod 7 or something like that, and you end up having to do all the work. But this is a cute example because you can actually get away with doing less than the total amount of work. All right. Yeah? Is it all right? Because, 8 is, okay? All right.
It's zero.
All right, and the point is, this is what we're going for here. We'll start things off, and everyone will be done in under a minute. And everyone, or nearly, let's say 95% of everyone will have the same right answer. That's what we're shooting for. All right, so this was... All right, you shouldn't need a calculator. You should need your clicker. Fire up your clicker. Oh, so now, okay, so this is, at the end, you're going to be left with 0, 1, 2, 3, or 4 fingers up. That's the clicks, 0, 1, 2, 3, or 4, okay? So this isn't the decision problem where you ask, is it divisible? I'm asking, what is the remainder? So click on the right remainder. All right? Everybody ready? This is not the list. This is the one right before the list. I need to start the clock. This is like a starter's pistol. All right? I just want to make sure everybody's ready. Ready? Okay, here we go. All right. Okay. Mumble. Oh, we'll call it practice. Okay, ready? Tough crap. All right, here we go. We are starting, and here comes the list. There it is. Anybody left? Stopping? Interesting. Stop. All right, stop. That's pretty good. Nicely done. All right, so it was 2 minutes, and we're 58% on the right answer, what I believe is the right answer. And 22% on the next one, which is only one off. All right, so did it feel faster? I mean, as a class, we finished faster, and there were more people who finished very quickly than before, but it still wasn't quite as fast as I was imagining. Did you stumble on your fingers a little bit? All right. I do this sort of chizumbopy thing, so I actually kind of push my fingers down against the table to record them instead of flicking them in and out of my thumb. This is a skill that you will not find very useful in real life. But nevertheless, what was my point? My point was that we've got two different ways that you can do this. You can literally solve the problem, or you could do a trick that gives you the same answer, but is easier. Sort of the definition of it. So an algorithm is essentially a trick, or a good algorithm is something that takes advantage of the problem to solve it more easily without giving you the wrong answer. So now you've got at least one concrete example of a problem that has multiple algorithms, and some of them really do seem to be better than others. All right. So I want to reinforce this loop structure because it's coming up again and again. So let me show you a scratch program that's now doing the the naive method of testing divisibility, the sum for divisibility by 5. So let's just trace this out. We're going to keep a variable called total, which is going to represent the sum of all the numbers that we've seen so far. I is going to point to where in the list we're currently looking. So we're starting off on the beginning of the list, position 1. Now we do a loop, and we say we're going to check all the i's until we fall off the end of the list. So repeat until I is bigger than the end of the list, the length of the list. And what we're going to do is for each of those i's, right, this is the inside of the loop part, we're going to do two things. For each I, we're going to change the total by item I of the list. In other words, look at the ith item of the list, the item that we're currently looking at in the list, take that number and add it to the total. So it's keeping a running sum, just what you would do if you're punching it into a calculator. The calculator holds the total. So the variable total here is holding on to that total, the sum of all the numbers we've seen so far. After that number's been added in, the next line says change I by 1. Right, which means go to the next element in the list. Okay, that ends the loop. It's going to run all the way through that until it's gone through all the elements in the list. And now what does total have? The variable total. Well, what is I now? What value does I have? Say the list has 100 numbers in it. Close. What's that?
101.
Right, so it went through and it first said, okay, the first element, then the second element, then the third element, and it went through and it did all the elements until the 100th element, added that one into the total, and then it bumped over to 101, which is off the end of the list, and that's what ended the loop. So I is now 101. It's one bigger than however long the list was. And what's total? What's in the variable total in words? You don't know specifically what the number is, but what does it represent?
The sum of
everything in the list. Right, so we've gone through, systematically checked every single one in the list and added them all into the total. So total now holds the sum of everything. Okay, and then what do we do with that? Well, in this program, first it just announces the total. That helped me with debugging. I present this and make it sound like it's obvious and everybody should be able to do it, but I think I got it wrong like 3 times. It's only this small, and yet I managed to get it wrong 3 times. One time, I forgot to add 1 to I, so it kept adding the first element of the list over and over again, never terminating. So the total got really, really big, but it didn't represent anything. And I think another time I forgot to set I to 1 at the beginning, so when I ran it once, it did the right thing. The next time through, it was adding invisible elements of the list, like off the end of the list, and the total was 0. I'm like, I'm looking at the list, it's clearly not 0. So it is a little tricky to get these things right. So I had to say the total out loud, a little speech bubble, and then I said take total mod 5, in other words, divide total by 5 and tell me the remainder. If that's equal to 0, it says yes, the sum is divisible by 5, and otherwise it says no, right, if else. Okay, is that, any questions on that?
I mean, what I'd like to be able to do eventually is show you a loop like this and have you stare at it a little bit and say, oh, it's checking if this total of the numbers is divisible by 5. Right, so you should be able to turn it into an English description, given that. What I'm probably not going to have you do is give you a problem like, hey, make a loop that would check if the sum is divisible by 5, where you have to actually compose all these blocks. I probably won't do that, but I probably will say, okay, I've already done that. Now turn that back into English. What does this actually do when you run it?
I'll show you more examples, but just so you know what it is you should be looking at these things for. All right, so that's the direct method. Here's another one where we can do something very direct. All right, so we've got a list of numbers, and we want to know, a list of numbers, there's some number in it that's the biggest. Maybe there's ties, but there's some set of numbers which are the largest values in the list. Is that largest number some particular value, 98? So again, this is a decision problem on a list. It's given a list of numbers and a value x, which say is 98, and it's just asking a yes-no question. Is the max of this list 98? So how would you do this? How would you do this? Well, if I gave you the list of numbers, what would you do? Actually, I think I can show you a list of numbers and let you do it. Here's a list of numbers. Is the largest number in this list 98?
No.
No, why not? Well, for one thing, it's not even in the list. Okay. Well, is the largest thing in the list? So that's one thing you can do is you run through and check if X is in the list, which is something we did last time. And if the number that you're asking about is not in the list, it's not the max. All right. Well, now I look at it again and I say, all right, what about 90? Is 90 the max of this list? It's in there. So how can you convince me that it's not the max? What's that? There's a 97. You can point at the 97 and say, right. I don't know. 97 is not necessarily the biggest, but we know it's bigger than, what did I say, 90. So 90 can't possibly be the max. All right. What if I say 97? So it's a yes no question. Is 97 the biggest number in this list?
Yes.
You say yes. How do you, how do you convince me of that? Well, you can show me that it's in the list, and then you have to just say, okay, well, check, make sure there's nothing bigger. So we could make a loop that would do that, but we'll do something a little more useful first. So another way you can solve this problem is, don't pay attention to the number that you were asked about. Just figure out what's the largest number in the list. Once you have that in your hand, compare it to X. And if they're equal, then you say yes, and if they're not equal, you say no. But how can you find the biggest number in the list? So it's the same kind of loop structure that we looked at, but it's a little bit hairier. The test, the thing that you have to do, instead of just adding to the total, it's a little trickier than that. But it's really the same idea. All right? So I'll talk it through. So before, we had a variable total, which held on to the sum of all the numbers we've seen so far. Now we're going to have a variable, we'll call it largest, which holds on to the largest number that we've seen so far, the max of the piece of the list that we've actually looked at. At some point, we'll have looked at all the list, and largest will contain the largest of the whole list. All right, so we start off I pointing at the beginning of the list. That's almost always what we do. And we repeat until we fall off the end of the list. And for each element of the list, this is what we do. We say, if item I of the list, if the item that we're currently looking at in the list, we're running through, if that number is bigger than the largest we've seen so far, we found a new winner. And we set largest to be that item. All right, you see that in the if statement? So test, have we found something bigger? If we have, we have a new biggest, and we assign that variable. Otherwise, we don't change anything, we just go to the next I. We run through the whole list that way, and when all is said and done, largest is the largest number in the list. We say it out loud, and then we say, is the largest equal to the X that we're testing? If it is, we say yes. If not, we say no. So it's hard for me to see it through your eyes, but to me, this looks a lot like the one that computes the sum. Okay? It's just that instead of adding things in, it has to do this slightly more complicated thing of saying, oh, What's the new max going to be? Now that we've gotten a new element, what's the new max? Okay. Any questions about that? What if we change this in the beginning? If we say set largest to some very large number like a billion, and then we change that the if statement to say if item I of list is less than largest. It's confusing that it's called largest, but if we change that greater than to a less than, what is this going to do? Right, it's going to keep checking if an element that it finds is smaller than everything we've seen so far, then we set the variable to that value. So when all is said and done, what do we know? We'll have the variable largest will actually hold the value of
the smallest.
Right, so it's a tiny little change, and it finds another useful thing in the list. So what are some of the things that you do with lists when back in the day when you were plotting these things? You have a list of numbers, it's got a min, it's got a max. What else does it have? It has an average or mean. How do we compute that? If we have a list of numbers and we want to know the mean, how would we do that?
Yeah, you have multiple.
And how do you add up a list of numbers? Oh, that, right? So if we wanted to compute the mean, we could actually go through the list summing up the same way we do here, and at the end, we take total and we divide it by, oh, wait, what do we divide it by? We're doing this in Scratch. What's that? Yeah, but how do we tell Scratch that? Not sure. What, minus one? Oh, clever. Yes, that would work, but that's not what I was going for. Yes, in this particular case, when we're done, when we get to the bottom of the loop, I is exactly the length of the list plus 1. So if we subtract 1 from it, that's the length of the list. But there's a way in Scratch to say specifically, how long is this list? How many things are in this list?
It sounds kind of mean of me to say, there's this thing in Scratch. But in fact, I've mentioned it several times and it's on the slide. What is it?
The length of list?
Yeah, there's a little box called length of list. Right, you see it? And that is a value, which is the length of the list. So that's how we actually figured that out. All right, so we can, the min, the max, the mean, anything else?
The median.
The median. What's that?
Middle number.
The middle number? Oh, so that's really easy, right? You just take, here's, if I wanted the median of this, the number that's in the middle is 71. Say, I heard it. What was it?
Gotta put it in order.
Ah, if we wanted to know the median of this list, the kind of normal, standard, direct way of doing it is first you have to take all the numbers and put them in numerical order. Once it's in numerical order, you can go to the middle of the list and say, that guy, that's the median. Okay? Not obvious how you make the numbers go in order, though. So we're going to talk about that, just not today. Good night. All right, here's a... Oh, here's another question. Oh, good, I skipped it by accident. All right, so we did... Here's what I'm going to do. Here's another question. Another question is, I give you a list of numbers, and I say, if you multiply an integer, say, positive integer, if we multiply all these numbers together, will the product be divisible by 5? Okay, it's just like what we did before with the sum of the numbers, like these algorithms, but now we're saying, no, don't add them up. Multiply them all together and get the product. All right? So the first thing I'm going to do is... Well, let me show. I'll make you do one of these. I'm going to make you do one of these. And then I'll show you the literal Scratch algorithm for doing it. And then we can talk about if there's a smarter way. All right, so here's the list. As soon as you know the answer, call it out. Is the product of these numbers divisible by 5?
No.
I heard a no. Anybody else? So those who haven't said no should be thinking, how the heck could someone know the answer yet? This is a lot of numbers, and they're big-ish. How could you possibly know that? So we'll talk about that in a second. But let's, if we were literally going to do this, the answer is no, in fact. If we're literally doing, here's a Scratch loop that does it, that actually multiplies all the numbers together and then checks if the product is divisible. It's the same structure that we just saw a couple times already. We make a variable that's going to give us the current answer, which is, we call it product in this case. Why does it say set product to 1? And before we were summing things up, I had set total to 0. Why am I setting product to 1? Because 0... Yeah, so if we started out at 0 and we keep multiplying things into it, it's not going to give us the product. It's going to give us 0. So that's bad. But why 1? Why not say 10? So 1 is the only number that anything multiplied by it is the number itself. Yeah, so 1 is kind of like the 0 of multiplication. So we start off at 1, and we loop through it just like before until I falls off the end of the list. We take each element, item I of list, we multiply it by the product so far, and we set the value product to be exactly that. So we just keep, we take what the product was, we multiply it by the new number, take that combined product, put it in the variable called product. Then we go to the next element of the list. We go all the way through the list, multiplying in each element until we have the product of everything. Then we say, if the product mod 5 is 0, yes, it's divisible by 5, otherwise no. So this is really very directly computing the answer to the question. Now that we're experienced algorithm designers, perhaps we can find a better way to do this by taking advantage of something about the number 5. So, all right, so does anybody have a better algorithm for figuring out, here's a list of numbers again. Is the product of this list divisible by 5? And how can you figure that out fast? You could just multiply them. That will work. But you'll get a very big number. In fact, Scratch overflows. Not for this list, but if you give it like 100 4 or 5 digit numbers, it starts to multiply them together and then it gets this giant, giant number and it stops displaying it. But there's a trick.
So what? All right. So if the product is divisible by 5, that means it's got a factor of 5 in it, right? That's what it means to be divisible by 5. It's 5 times something. So that would mean that product, that 5, would have to come from someplace. What does a number look like if it's divisible by 5? It ends in a 0, or it ends in a 5, right? So, like, you know, we count by 5s, we get 0, 5, 10, 15, 20, 25, 30, 35, 40, right? We keep going 0, 5, 0, 5, 0, 5, 0, 5. So if the product is going to be divisible by 5, one of the things we multiply into it has to be divisible by 5, which means one of them would have to end in a 0 or a 5. So what do? You go through this list, and for each number you ask, does it end with a 5 or a 0? If the answer is yes, what do? What's that? Sure. Let's say it's 0. Then what do you say? So remember, the output, the final answer that you want to give is either yes or no. So we're going through, we check the first one, that's not divisible, that doesn't end with a 0 or a 5, the next one doesn't end with a 0 or 5, the next one. So let's say the one after that does. What do we do at that point? We say yes. Yes. All right. What if we go all the way to the end of the list, like we would in this case, none of them end in 0 or 5, we get to the end of the list, and we say no, right? None of them are divisible by 5, therefore the product's not divisible by 5. That's easy, right? That was fast. And I think somebody over here said the answer was no really fast. Do you, yeah, is that what you did? You just scan through and you check, not a 0, 5, not a 0, 5, not a 0, 5, not a 0, 5, list is over. Right? So again, by taking advantage of what the question was asking, you can actually do it a lot faster than just literally carrying out the steps suggested by the problem. So that is a much better algorithm. All right. So I want you to think about this one too. This again, if there's a trick, we need to find this trick because it's a pain in the butt to solve this problem otherwise. So here's a list of numbers. Is the median of this list 45? It is. 45 is near the middle of the list, but it's not a sorted list. So did anyone know the answer? Did you sort the numbers or anything? Thinking about it. I don't want to interrupt any thinking. It's always a danger. All right. So if you were to solve this problem without thinking too hard about it, what would you do? Okay. You need to know yes or no is the median 45. So what would you do? What would the steps be? Yeah.
Just find the biggest number and divide it by 2.
Find the biggest number and divide it by 2, and what would that tell you?
The median is 45.
It wouldn't, though. So if you take the biggest number, which is what?
90.
Oh, ha. Yeah, so 45 is exactly midway between 0 and the max, but the median of a list is not necessarily that. Yeah. Right, so here's a list of numbers. 0, 1, 7, 10, 11, 12. All right, so seven. All right, so we've got 7 numbers. The largest one is 13. Half of 13 is like 6.5. What's the median of this list?
7.
It's 10. All right, so 10, and what does that mean? It means that there's some number of numbers smaller than it. In this case, there are 3 numbers smaller than it, and there are 3 numbers bigger than it, so it must be in the middle. It's the median. Okay, so that's what median is. It's not the average of the smallest and the biggest, or the most common number. Median is, if it were sorted, what would be in the middle of that list, so that half are smaller and half are bigger. All right, so what would we do? What would we do if we're literally trying to, if our grade depended on it or something Even more significant, yes.
You just take the numbers and order them from smallest to largest.
Uh-huh.
The one that ends up in the middle.
Yeah, so how many numbers are there here? There's 1, 2, 3. Excellent. All right, so we've got 19 numbers. So what would that mean? So we need a number that would have 9. There'd be 9 numbers on this side and 9 numbers on this side, and then the median sits in the middle. Right? So if you were to sort them all out, from smallest to biggest, you count, and in the 10th position, you'd be at a number that had 9 smaller and 9 bigger. That would be the median. Yes?
If you're only asked, is the median 45, you wouldn't need to do that.
But if you're asked, so if I was asking you, what's the median of this list, you're basically stuck doing something like this. It turns out you can be a little more clever than actually ordering them all. But that's not the question. I asked the question, is 45 the median? So how could we possibly be clever?
You can just go across the list and say if it's above or below 45.
All right, so let's do that. So, I didn't want to erase that. All right, so we're going to tally things up. We're going to say we're going to crunch through the whole list. Some of the numbers are going to be smaller than 45. Some of them are going to be equal to 45, and some of them are going to be greater than 45. And let's just find out how many of each of these there are. All right, so help me out here. So call out numbers, and I'll tally. Do you want to read the numbers for me?
48, 40, 46, 31, 31, 0, 0, 27, 27, 12, 12, 22, 71, 71, 45, 63, 63, 30, 30, 64, 64, 83, 85, 83, 88, 90, 90, 85, 85, and 52. And
what? 52.
And 52.
Are you with me? What just happened? We found out that there are exactly 9 numbers smaller than 45, 1 number is equal to 45, and 9 numbers greater than 45. What does that mean about 45? It's the median, right? It's the one that would sit right in the middle if we were to sort them, which we didn't bother to do because we were clever. That's the kind of algorithm designers we are. All right, so that's actually kind of cool. We can actually loop through. If we had that as the question, is this the median, you could just pass through and say yes or no. Now, if the answer was no, is there any other information that we would get? Like, what if it was, if we had said 47? Is 47 what the numbers? No, 46?
Yeah.
Okay, so if we had said 46, we would have had this. Right, there would have been 10 numbers smaller, 1 number equal to 46, and 8 numbers greater. And we would have said, it's not the median, because it's not sitting in the middle of the count. Okay? But, what could we say? We know the median is not 46. Do we know what the median is? No. But do we know what the median, where it is compared to 46? Do we know if it's bigger or smaller than 46? It's smaller, right? Because we know that if we actually had the whole list sorted out, 46 would be in the 11th position because there's 10 smaller than it. And the median has to be in the 10th position. It has to be something smaller than 46. We couldn't tell from the counts what that was. It could be 45 and a half. It could be 40. It could be negative 100. We have to go back and look in the list again. But at least we know if it's bigger or smaller. Okay. All right, so... so here's the naive way to do it. If we could just, if we had a call in Scratch that said sort list, then that would be great. Because what we would do is we'd say, oh, you give me a list, I'm sorted. Someone's going, hey, someone sort this. Oh, I got it. Okay, done. So it comes back, and now we've got the list is now sorted. And we can say, set I to be the length of the list plus 1 all divided by 2. That's the middle position of the list if it's an odd length. And we just say, oh, well, the thing in position I is the median. If that's X, yes, otherwise no. So if we could magically sort, we could do it that way. We don't know how to sort yet, but we'll figure that out later. But basically, to do it fast, we do what I just described. We count up how many are smaller than it, how many are equal to it, and how many are greater. And we check if that would put the number in the middle of the list or not. All right, so we did that. Oh, there's two. This is clever because now there's 2 47s. So you have to be a little careful in that case. The 47 ends up being in the middle, but also just off the middle. So it is still the median. All right. So we talked about this already, using the last digit, dividing by 5. Oh, so is the product of these numbers divisible by 5? Yes or no?
Yes.
How do you know? Because 45 ends with a 5. So that brings a factor of 5 into the product. We're done. You don't even have to check what the other numbers are. You can find one that ends with a 5 or a 0. All right. All right, what I'd like to do is talk, just show you this cool magic trick just because it's cool. And now I'll deal with mods, and the next time we'll start off on the growth of algorithms. All right. So you need a piece of paper. Kind of irritating to work with it. So, you know, 5 digits, pretty good. But the only constraint is, it should be a positive integer, no irrational numbers or anything. And it should have at least 2 different digits in it. It can't be like 6666666. It could be 6666662. But it can't be the one digit repeated for the whole thing. Okay? With me so far? Alright. Step 2, scramble your number. So write down a second number which has the same digits in it, but not in the same order. Okay. Now, because you had at least 2 different digits in it, you can find a scrambled number that is different than the original one. If it had been 6666, you would be screwed because you'd be stuck with the same number for scrambled. All right, then do the subtraction. Take you have 2 numbers now, your original number and your scrambled number. One of them is bigger than the other because they're not the same. Subtract the smaller one from the bigger one and figure out what the difference is. From the difference that you've computed, subtraction, it's going to be some number with one or more digits in it. Just circle one of those digits. Pick one. I won't force you to pick any particular one. All right. And now, so could you tell me the numbers that you didn't circle?
That I didn't circle?
Yeah.
4, 1, 5, 1.
So you have 4, 1, 5, 1 and some other number that you didn't tell me, right? Yeah, I'm crappy at this. I'm sorry. Showmanship. Okay, so all right. If you want me to do you, raise your hand. Let me try somebody else. Okay.
8, 9, 8. 8, 9, 8.
That's what you got. And then one left over. Somebody over here? Yeah?
3, 1, 0, 9.
3, 1, 0, 9. And then you left something out. Okay, so go through and check where your mistake was.
We'll get back to you. Let me know if you find that you made a mistake. Yeah?
2821.
2821?
Yeah.
Like that? Right. See, she got it right. All right. All right. I'll do one more. But then I want to tell you about how the trick works.
4, 2, 5, 3.
Like that?
Yeah.
See, if I was good, I'd be staring at you instead of the numbers. But I'm doing math in my head. Actually. Four? Yeah, okay, all right. She's nodding very subtly. All right, so what the hell? All right, so there's two things that you need to know to understand this, and they both have to do with modulo arithmetic. And it's an easy one you could do on your friends and such. All right, let's take a number, 2, 6, 5, all right? What is this number mod 9? What's the remainder of this number if we divide it by 9? Five, right? Four? Huh. Oh, I wonder if I did get that one wrong. 4. 8. Okay, so 8. So, how do we do that? We say we divide by 9. That's like 2, 18, there's 8, so 85, which is like 9 with 4 left over. Okay, I agree. All right. Now, let's take a scramble of this. Say, 6, 25. What's the remainder mod 9, or divided when you divide by 9? It's the same. It's 4. What's the sum of these digits? Well, I don't know, 11, 12, 13. What's the remainder of 13 when you divide by 9? 4. Well, let's take the sum of these digits. What's the remainder of that when you divide by 9? 4. So here's this sort of weird fact about base 10. The remainder mod 9, the remainder when you divide by 9 of any number is the same as the remainder mod 9 of those numbers summed up. And what that means is if you scramble the digits, it doesn't change the sum of the digits, so it doesn't change the remainder mod 9. So, when I asked you to take a number and then scramble it and subtract, so we had something like 625, 265, you subtract them. I should be able to do this faster. Oh, that's 0, and I have to borrow. Here. 6, 3, so 360. Okay. Mod 9, that's really 4 minus 4 is 0. This is divisible by 9. In fact, the number that you got, that you left on your piece of paper, was divisible by 9. You then circled one of the digits, say 6, and you told me what was left, 3 and 0. So now I'm sitting here going, what digit is missing so that the sum of all these digits will be divisible by 9? It has to be 6. So in all these cases, I took, the first one I was told 4151. That's 4 plus 1 is 5, plus another 5 is 10, plus 1 is 11, plus 7 is 18. That's the next multiple of 9. So I knew the 7 was what was missing. Because you had to give me a number that was going to be 0 mod 9. Some of the numbers had to be divisible. I believe I have to be done now. Have a good day.
I have a question on
that. Let me turn this off. Hang on.